Isaiah chapter number 26. Just me or anybody just feel God a minute ago? Amen. I thank God for that. I'm glad I'm not in a dead church. Isaiah chapter 26. And verse number 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege to be in church today. Lord, I thank you for those that are here today. I pray that you'd bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. I pray for their jobs. I pray for their families. I pray for their homes. I pray for those that are not here today that couldn't make it and those that chose not to come. I pray, oh God, for your help with them as well. And give us a good time around the Word of God today. We pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. If I could have your attention for a few minutes, I want to deal with this very simple thought. A pattern for perfect peace. A pattern for perfect peace. In Isaiah chapter 26, there is a great deal of praise being done here, a great deal of worship being done, and the man of God is leading the people in this time of worship. In those days, there were great difficulties, just like there are in our days. In those days, there were times of sickness and times of trouble and times of pain, times of agony. And I'll say this again. There are things that people dealt with in the Bible and stayed faithful to God in the Bible in the midst of things that are significantly worse than what we're dealing with right now. Okay? And if God could help them, don't you think he can help us? I believe that. So for those of you that have concern today, and for those of you that are listening on the radio or at home, please understand that God is no less in charge of this thing today than he was a week ago. Not any less in charge now than he was then. He has control over every molecule in our universe, and he knows exactly how to handle this situation in the appropriate fashion, in a way that'll be beneficial and bring honor and glory to God. And I'm satisfied with that. If our lives are to bring honor and glory to God anyway, then who are we to point our fingers in anger at a God that loves us and question that love during a time of question situations? Now look at verse number 1. There was a song to be sung. Look at verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Talking about the people of God. And if you bring that around to today, we ought to be able to say that we have a strong city, or we have a strong group of people. Christians these days ought to be stronger now than you ever have been before. Now I'm going to tell you why. Not because of our goodness or our ability to be stronger, but we have access to the Word of God that is literally at our fingertips 24 hours a day. Back in Isaiah's day, this is 2,700 years ago, way before there was ever even a book published that would be called a Bible. And they had strength from God, trusting the Word of God. And you ought to have strength from God, trusting the Word of God, that you have the completed Bible at your disposal. Around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have access to God. Now, I've got a few verses that I want to read to you, and you don't have to turn to these, but I'd like to send these to you, and there's more than this, but I'm going to read a few of them to you that help me during a time of unpeace, when we lack peace. The first verse I thought of last night was Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The people of God ought to be at less worry than anybody in the world. And yet the devil figures out a way to get a crack in our faith. And I'm not delegitimizing what's happening today. That's why I did call around suggesting that if folks have difficulty or problems, that, you know, you don't have, please don't feel like you'd have to come. But at the same time, we have got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and trust that, God is able to take care of us. And what does it say? He said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God is going to take care of His people. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be in this business. I'd go back to picking locks and making keys. There's no way in the world I'd be in this ministry if I didn't believe God was able to take care of me. No way. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night with four children and a family to take care of if I didn't know God was capable of taking care of me. Then I saw Psalm 56:4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He said, in God. And that's what we need to do. You need to drive a stake deep. As a family, you need to drive, and as individuals, you need to drive deep stakes with your faith in God, so that no matter what happens, no matter how we're questioned, I don't know that I would have thought this soon, we would have had an executive order limiting the number of people that can go to church. What's fascinating to me, though, and if you're a little warm, I turned the air conditioning is off. The system is off so that there's no air recirculating in here in case somebody does sneeze or cough. I've taken every necessary precaution for this church to be as safe as an environment as we can possibly have. And yet people will get up tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And most people that would fear this environment will still go into other environments where they can get access to the same or more access to the same stuff that we're concerned about. So, and I see so many, and I understand their concern. I'm not delegitimizing the situation that we're in at all. I'm not delegitimizing the sickness, the virus. I'm not delegitimizing the people that are suffering right now with fevers and pains and agonies because of this. I'm not making that any less serious. But we've got to have some determination within us that if we're going to do one thing in our life, we ought to make sure that we're worshiping God. And I'm not against, listen, I'll be putting up videos this afternoon. I'm not against the internet and videos. I did one last night. I'm not against it. But Hebrews is very clear that we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. We're not to say, Arrington Branch Baptist Church is not to say, until the governor gives us permission to gather again, we're halting all services. Now, I postponed the youth revival for obvious reasons, because I want to pack this church full of people. And right now, that's illegal. Can you imagine saying that? What are they going to say? And I'm not on a train right now on a high horse, but what's next? So if we lay down and say, okay, Mr. Governor, you said that no more than 100 can meet, so we'll just close our church indefinitely until you give us permission to do so again. And that is not, I'm not delegitimizing the pain people are suffering. I'm not saying that the sickness is unreal. I know that people suffer from it. I know that people get sick from it. I get that. I'm not making that any less. But I am here to tell you today that Arrington Branch Baptist Church is open for business. And if we have people that are suffering, they need to know that we're praying for them, and that if they need a bag of flour and a gallon of milk from the grocery store, they'll have it on their porch. True religion and undefiled is to take care of the fatherless and the widows and those that are afflicted. And we're to stay separate from the world and the direction that the world is taking. So that's why I didn't call off service today. Now, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, I'm going to read that again. The fear of man bringeth a snare, But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, it doesn't say you'll be, I'm not a Pentecostal. You may get the flu, you may get COVID-19. I don't know. But if in the event that that happens, God knew 100 million years ago that that was going to happen, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, you had an appointment with God for your deathbed way before you was ever even born. Okay? And no bottle of medication, no system of treatments, and no do's and don'ts list that we may have is going to prevent that, whether it comes from riding down the road and running into a tree while texting on your phone. Listen, I know a boy, and it's several years ago in another county, but I know a boy, he got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go work at a gas station. He was texting, he's probably 20, 21, texting going down 64, US 64, texting on his phone, and it was him and his girlfriend were having an argument. He ran off the road, 60 mile an hour, hit an oak tree head on. He planned on living another 50 or 60 years. Nobody in this room knows when your last day is. We can't let the fears control us. We have got to be strong in the Lord. And if it comes to where you're quarantined in your home, keep your King James Bible and have a Holy Ghost revival in your house. Do not let this mess rip your faith out of you. Don't let it happen. And whether you can attend church or not, don't let it rip your faith out from you. You stay faithful to that Bible. You stay faithful in your prayer closet. And when you can come, you come. And I've prayed that God would protect this church. He's able to do that. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to get mad at him. And nor should you. I'll read the verse one more time. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. 2 Timothy 1:7, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And some of you and some others that will be listening to this, you wake up in the middle of the night concerned about this, and I get it. But if you want to replace that, if you want to get that out, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and you can draw nigh to God. And by the way, listen to this now. God is very good at reeling in his people. He's very good at it. And if you'll remember, some of you aren't old enough, but some of you are old enough to remember the day after and the Sunday after 9/11, how that everybody in America got religious overnight. Religion and patriotism took over 80% of American homes. Bipartisan votes came through and people were in support of the direction of our country moving against the enemy that had attacked us. And now just 20 years later, we are in a spot where American leaders don't even know how to call on God anymore. Now, I will say this, and this may bother one or two of you, I don't know. But the fact that our president made today a National Day of Prayer, and that we will participate that here in just a few minutes, that our president did that, you better thank God that man's at the steering wheel right now. You better thank God for that. I'm just going to say it. If Hillary Clinton were running our country right now, she'd have every last one of us scared to death. But she'd at least try. If one of these other politicians were running our country right now and were in charge of things, do you think they'd call for a National Day of Prayer? Do you think that Bernie Sanders is going to call for a National Day of Prayer? Do you think that Joe Biden is going to remember what prayer means? Yes, I said that. Do you think that do you understand what I'm fixing to say? We almost had a sodomite running for president. A married man to another man, almost. got high enough to get on the November ballot. Can you believe that? Every person that has run against Donald Trump this year has run on the ticket that if a baby is born alive and the abortion is botched, they can lay them on a cold stainless steel table and let them die. That's barbaric. It ought to tick you off. And if you have to crawl into the voting booth in November and cast your ballot for the man that's closest to God, you better do it. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. That's right, Moo Moo. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So many people today are living in torment. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You've got to understand that if you'll draw close to God, your fears will be lessened. And the further away from God you are, your fears will be heightened. Not that just because you're afraid means that you don't love God. That's not what this means. It means that when you are afraid, Psalm 56:3 is still in the Bible. There are times that Brian Coates gets afraid. I'm not belittling fear. There are times that I get afraid. But David said in Psalm 56:3, kids, quote it with me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Not if I get afraid. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now listen, all you children, look up here at the pastor for a minute. Now, I want you to look around the congregation at these adults. And if you adults here today have enough nerve to say, as an adult, I get afraid. Raise your hand. Got enough? See? Kids, it's not just you. When we are afraid, we got to trust God. That's all we can do. All right, so back to Isaiah 26. He said, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Now, verse number 2. Okay, there was a song to be sung. There was a source of strength. Song to be sung, a source of strength. And now we see there was a system of support. Look up verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. You want to experience the blessings of God? We need to be a righteous nation that keepeth the truth. We need to hang on to the Word of God more than we've ever hung on to the Word of God. Our source of strength. Now with all that in mind, I want you to look at verse number 3, and I want to deal with this verse for just a minute. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. A few very quick things here out of verse number 3. The initiation of this peace is in God. Look at the first two words. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Did you know that my peace on the inside is not my responsibility? I can try to bring peace to myself through encouraging books and magazines and articles and that. I can try to keep myself in peace. But if you'll keep your mind on God, He will keep you in peace. Okay? There have been so many times that I've tried to calm myself down and bring peace to myself, but I realize that every time I've got to run to God, I've got to go straight to the Lord, and He will keep me in peace if I'm up next to Him. The hymn writer said, hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. It's not our responsibility to prove our Christianity by just anything outside of our closeness to God. Proving yourself to God will be the initiation of peace that you need in your life. Proving yourself by staying close to God, your Bible, and your prayer closet, and not backing down on anything. You know, it amazes me. I'm in several group texts with lots of different pastors. I'm in a group text with 4 very prominent pastors. And one of them texted this week that this situation that's going on is good for the millennials because they need to toughen up a little bit. That's what one of the preachers said. This guy pastors a prominent church in Henderson County. He's got a lot of young people he works with, has raised a very large family. And that was his comment about it, that these kinds of things will cause the millennials who don't know how to do anything but hold a phone. It will cause them to wake up and realize, hey, there may come a day that I have to actually grow up. There may come a day that I got to do a few things on my own. Because I'm not going to have somebody next to me to insert the pacifier and pop it back out at the appropriate times. Y'all okay? That's the environment that we're in today. People are going crazy. Going crazy. Now, I'm for prevention, and I'm for taking care and being careful. I'm doing everything I possibly can. But the day that we say, God, and I've told people this week, the day that we say, Lord, sorry, we're just not going to be able to, at least once in a week, we're not going to be able to do that anymore until we feel better about the situation, then we're smacking God in the face. We better not do that. There may come a day where there is a, and I didn't know. I mean, after I heard that executive order yesterday, I thought, well, if we have 120 here today, there's liable to be an armed officer at the door telling us we've got to lock the door. I mean, that's a misdemeanor. It's now a misdemeanor to be in a crowd of more than 100 in the state of North Carolina. If you're in a crowd of more than 100, it's a misdemeanor. I read the statute this morning from the executive order. So I thought, okay, well, if we'll do everything we can to do what's right, and we keep that number down, and if we end up with more than that, I've already decided. I told some of you men, if we have more than 100, we'll open the back doors, put chairs on the porch, and I'll get a little louder. Let me tell you, that cow pasture right there, Moo, we could set chairs in the cow pasture and open the windows, turn the speakers up. That's two different pieces of property. Some of y'all don't even know. We can open that. Yvonne would let us put chairs up across the creek. Now we'd have to get really loud. I love loud. But there's going to come a day where we're going to be tested. And this is one of those tests. I'm not delegitimizing the health concern, please. I understand the severity of this. I'm not delegitimizing that. But I'm also not going to delegitimize our need for God. And it is a fact, when God's people come together to pray, it makes a difference. The initiation is in God. The investment is by grace. He said, thou wilt keep him. In an investment by grace. God, by his grace, has made an investment in us that includes the shed blood of his only begotten Son, guaranteeing our arrival in heaven. Should we not trust him to get us from here to there? Whether by the rapture, or old age, or a hospital, or a car wreck, should we not just trust him till we step off on the golden shore? Should we not just trust him? Amen. The investment is by grace. Thou wilt keep him. The indwelling is in greatness. Indwelling with greatness. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Ain't that a great place to be? We singing a little bit ago, and we got to, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. And some of y'all lifted a hand to heaven, and some of y'all shouted a little bit. I saw tears going down cheeks. You know why? Because in that moment, those are not tears or shouts of fear or dread or anxiety. Y'all were able to take, some of you were able to take the first deep breath you've took all day. Because you know that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. The indwelling is by greatness. The insurance. Yep, biblical insurance. The insurance is by determination. It said, whose mind is stayed on thee. So you're going to work. You're coming home. You're doing your whatever you can do now. Whatever you can possibly do. Those things that you're going to do. If you'll keep your mind stayed on God, keep it on the Lord. I'll tell you the best way to do that. You ready? Here we go. Two ways. I'm not going to do that. Two ways. Way number one, memorize some verses. That's not easy, but if you'll read it 100 times over and over, you're going to have some spare time in the next few weeks. Because they're going to start closing stores. I signed up as a census officer because I'm fascinated with the census and historical stuff. And I got a feeling they're going to shut that up. There's going to be a lot of things. And I saw one, and y'all can just, anyway. The president has the ability to call off the election. I hope y'all know that. And then there's going to be some people that will shut up after that. Now, I don't know that he'll do it. But if he does, I'm going to be like, just stay right there, sir. Are y'all okay? I'm tired of having my lips buttoned on this subject. We are fools. We are fools if we're going to promote that other crowd getting into Washington, D.C. Fools. The insurance is by determination. Oh, two things. So you need verses. And if you can't memorize some verses, get some songs in your heart. And if all you can pull out is Amazing Grace, then when you get concerned because somebody at your job was just diagnosed with COVID-19 or one of your relatives that you just broke bread with has COVID-19, when you get just sing Amazing Grace. You get through the first couple of words and the devil's beating you in the side of the face, telling you to shut up, that God don't care about you. Get through the verse, clear your throat and start verse 2. And if you can't get any of that done, lift a hand and sing praise God, praise God, praise God, praise. And you just watch. You'll see God show up. He inhabiteth the praises of his people, don't he? The insurance is by determination. Lastly, the inspiration for this piece is by diligence. By diligence. Now look down at your Bible. You got it in your lap. If you don't, open it back up to Isaiah 26. I want you to read this with me in your mind. Verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You're going to determine to be diligent and say, regardless of what everybody does, I'm going to trust my God. Regardless of what everybody does, I'm going to trust my God. And I'd encourage you to do that. A pattern for perfect peace.